Chapter 10, 15th of January. Why go through the stress of thinking someone is mean when it's so much easier and funnier to just assume that they're stupid? I have to act opposite Jack today. It's just me and him all morning, until Jasmine joins us at lunch and I actually have someone decent to talk to. There's only one scene, I have to keep telling myself, and the quicker I get it done, the faster it will be over. I'm a professional. I can do this. And as annoying as it is to admit, Jack is a good actor. He could be a prat and untalented. There's plenty of them out there. Oh God, my pickup is going to be here in 5 minutes. It's only one scene. It's only one scene. Something is wrong. I was meant to be on set well over an hour ago. It's basically midday and nothing has been filmed from what I can tell. There's been no rearrangements of scenes, no cameras breaking, no plague hitting the entire crew that I know of. So what? I'm going to ask one of the runners. This is getting ridiculous. Toby, the base runner, has unfortunately just been on the receiving end of a director Andrew hissy fit because, surprise, surprise, Mr. Hart is the one holding up production. Jack's only gone and done a vanishing act, was in his trailer ready to go 1 minute, and then poof, no one can find him. I suggested to Toby that he look round the back of Studio B as Jack's probably trying to get off with a star-struck, gooey-eyed extra. Apparently they've checked. It's been like a witch hunt. Everyone has been stumped and filming has officially been suspended. To put it nicely, it's unprofessional. To put it how I actually want to put it would require a lot more swearing. How can anyone, I don't care who the hell you think you are, how can anyone be so bloody selfish? I'm here because I want to work, not because I want to sit on my ass in a scratchy dress all day waiting for some second-rate bellon to get his acting gear. Maybe Jack's that opposed to acting with me, he's done a runner. Or maybe he rang his agent and refused to work until I'm fired and a fitter, more qualified actress is placed opposite him. No, let's think more positively. Maybe he's been hit by a bus. Oh, I need a drink. What a bloody awful pissing day. Chapter 11, 16th of January. Just choked on a blueberry. Chocolate wouldn't have done that to me. Just saying. Because of yesterday's antics, the entire schedule has been thrown right out of whack. I thought Jack might have been too embarrassed to show his face, but there he was, sauntering into the breakfast tent. All eyes were on him, including mine. I was sitting at a table with a couple of mates in the crew, Simon and Warren from the prop department, and Osse, a sound engineer. Conversation immediately turned to gossip about what had actually happened yesterday. Within seconds, the rumours got laughably absurd. I didn't mind. It just assured me that my opinion of Jack was shared.
I heard he found a grey hair, Simon mused. Had a full-on breakdown, cried his eyes out.
I heard it was food poisoning, Osse countered, devouring a spoonful of baked beans. Shat his pants and costume didn't have any spare.
Everyone laughed but me. My eyes had landed on Jasmine and Jack in a tight embrace by the coffee machine. They did look good together. That was undeniable.
You think he's found his next victim?
Simon pondered aloud.
Should make his third co-star girlfriend this year.
Think he's actually still dating the last one? Osse chipped in. From that god-awful violin show he's doing. Catherine Kay or something. Caitlin Kay. Casey. It begins with a kick and cut. Jesus, what's her feckin' name?
Does anyone actually care? Osse.
Warren drained his coffee.
Right. Sorry, Mel, love. We've got to be getting on with our work.
About time, I teased. Warren gave me an affectionate wink and off he disappeared. Simon, shoving the last of his butty into his mouth, followed close behind.
Alone at last,
Osse smirked. I rolled my eyes, noticing Jack and Jasmine were now gone. Weird. Jasmine usually sits with me at breakfast and asks me to run lines with her. Osse picked up his breakfast box and slid it closer to me.
So, how long have we got you for?
Not sure after yesterday, but the schedule says 4 more days.
Looking forward to getting home?
Definitely not. According to Ian, he'd landed a new boyfriend. According to Amara, Ian had acquired a squatter. Holding true to Ian's usual bad taste in men, his new boyfriend is unemployed, on the drugs, and party mad. So home was no doubt going to resemble more of a bomb site than Symbol of Freedom's literal bomb site set. Housemate hell aside, I also didn't want to return to what currently felt like a different life. Here, life was good. Life was interesting. Back home, my days are filled with call from dad, waitressing shift, do a self-tape, call from dad, fixate over a job I haven't heard back from, waitressing shift, food shop, call from dad, writing my diary about the nothingness that is life. Now I'm in more of a low mood than I even thought possible. Face full of ice cream, curled up in my hotel room bed feeling sorry for myself. No, Jack didn't go missing again, but he did steal my friend. Jasmine barely spoke to me today. There was a brief, hello, a definite, goodbye, and a throwaway, where are you sitting for this scene, just so I know where to direct my eyeline. Jack said even fewer words to me. I think a hi was all he could muster. I wanted to bring up yesterday with him, demand an apology for not only myself but the entire crew, but because Jasmine was being so friendly with him, it completely knocked my confidence. I felt like a third wheel in the worst possible way. They were chatting, giggling, dare I say flirting. It became evident within minutes why these two had been cast opposite each other. Palpable chemistry pissed me right off. It all came to a sorry close when Jack invited Jasmine out for dinner, claimed he was completely clueless with where was good in town, and would Jasmine be so kind as to take him somewhere for dinner? I was sitting right there. Jasmine agreed, and that was the end of that. I got no invite. So here I am, alone. Knew it was all going too well. Chapter 12. 17th of January. Online journalism is the breeding ground for most evil. Well, that manana's knicker draw. My phone blew up this morning. We're talking atomic level, no survivors, just a big old nuke of mass destruction. Two pictures were to blame, surrounded by a load of news that I didn't understand. The first was Jack and Jasmine, clearly from dinner last night, and adjacent to it, Jack and me. Me. Sat opposite Jack in that cafe. We definitely didn't look as cosy as Jack and Jasmine, but that didn't stop the caption from stating, love triangle seeming to form as Jasmine O'Connell and Mystery Woman are seen on separate secret dates with Jack Hart while filming their new hit for the big screen. I didn't know what to think. I had missed calls from friends, an abundance of texts from family, and an insane amount of social media messages from people I hadn't spoken to for years. The one common factor of all this attention were the words, is this you? I really wish it wasn't. My phone is ringing. It's Dad. Oh, hell. I just don't understand. Why didn't you tell me, Freckles? Dad's heartbroken voice sat heavy in my stomach. I felt sick. I was going to tell him eventually. It had never occurred to me he would or even could find out any other way about my new job. But apparently not. He can still access trashy online British magazines in France, especially ones that have been sent to him by every mutual family member. Your Auntie Angela has sent it to me 4 times, Freckles. She's really upset that you didn't mention you had a new boyfriend. He's not my boyfriend, Dad. I looked at the photo again. They must have taken this as soon as he sat down. We were only talking for like 10 minutes and then he left for work. I scrolled down, rereading the article. Bloody hell, I'm being accused of being the homewrecker of a 6-month-long fan-favourite relationship. Jesus, where have they got this from? It says here, me and Jack have been seeing each other for a while. I only met him last week. What's the saying? There's no such thing as bad publicity. It is bad publicity when it's putting you up against one of your co-workers. There's a poll here for who Jack should continue pursuing. Me, Jasmine, or his ex Kimberly Kay. Guess who's coming last?
Why do you care, Mel?
Dad queried.
Do you like this boy?
Absolutely not, I hissed. He's an A-list knobhead.
However, I do care about his fan base jumping on this psychotic bandwagon. It says here, many Violins in Vienna fans are devastated by the news of Hart and Kay's rumoured split, some heading online to vent their outrage. One writing, Jasmine and his mystery woman have got nothing on our Kimberly. What on earth is Jack thinking? Others, however, like the new potential couples, one writing, this might do Violins some good. Jack and KK's on-screen chemistry was getting stale. Oh my God, it's bollocks. It's all just absolute bollocks.
Freckles, if you keep reading, you're going to start spiralling.
Start? Couldn't he tell I was already down the rabbit hole and spinning on my head?
Sorry, Dad, this has never happened to me before. It comes with the new territory, I think, Dad mused.
I scrolled through the unread messages on my phone. 50% of them from Ian losing his mind. Maybe not telling people had been a massive mistake. Dad then sighed heavily, in a way that immediately told me he was gearing up to say something that was about to make everything so much worse.
I'm very proud of you, Melissa. And I know your mum would be too.
And there it is. My brain was still in absolute tatters when I finally arrived at work. I decided it would be best to just leave my phone in my hotel room and take a few hours away. Otherwise, I'd have just continued to scroll and scroll and scroll. No, thank you. Found Jasmine alone, sat in the green room, flicking through her scenes for the day. She looked up at me a little flustered and smiled.
Oh, hello.
Hi. I sat down beside her and a heavy, awkward silence fell over us. Suddenly, all I could think about was whether she'd seen the article too. Were she and Jack on a date last night and I'd awkwardly just got thrown into the mix? Should I bring it up? God, I might have to. How was dinner?
Good, I think. We went to that noodle place?
Jasmine turned her script over.
Some photographers showed up, which wasn't great, but it happens. Did you have a good evening?
Oh, yeah, I lied. Can't beat a tub of ice cream in bed by yourself.
A tub? Jasmine laughed. You are joking, right? I assume you put the rest in the freezer?
I raised an eyebrow. Does your hotel room have a freezer? She thought for a moment.
No, it doesn't.
I smiled.
Well, neither does mine.
Awkward silence again.
She mentioned photographers, so maybe she wants me to bring up the article.
I don't suppose you've seen or been sent...
Hello, ladies.
At that moment, a tall man with round bifocals approached Jasmine from behind. His grey hair slipped back, his posture so upright he reminded me of a yardstick you'd find in an old schoolroom. He placed a bony, wrinkled hand on Jasmine's shoulder, flashing a beaten-up gold wedding ring. Jasmine's demeanour almost immediately changed as his fingers seemed to bury themselves into her skin.
Mr. Elliot.
She sprang to her feet.
I didn't know you were coming in today.
Mr. Elliot? Was I supposed to know who this was? The name didn't send any bells ringing.
Just to watch some of the rushes, Jasmine. And have a discussion with Andrew about this morning's rewrite.
Which one? I snorted. We've had about six. Mr. Elliot's eyes landed on me, piercing blue, full of a life no doubt wildly lived.
The Lemon Amendments.
Jesus, I think production are running out of colours. But got to give it to them, they're getting imaginative. I've only ever had like blue, green, red, the usual draft names. But here, we got mauve yesterday, and then this morning they pulled out blush gold. I rambled. Jasmine was looking at me like a rabbit caught in the headlights. Her eyes were so wide, I thought they might pop out of their sockets.
Mel,
she said with a slight warning underlying her tone.
This is Mr. Charles Elliot, the executive producer and owner of the production company.
Ah, balls.
Mr. Elliot, this is Mel. She's playing my sister.
The comedic relief?
Was that a rhetorical question or a statement? I wondered.
Melissa Bishop, I remember your audition tapes. Very bolshy.
Bolshy? My brain started to reel. Is that a compliment? An insult? Is it even a real word?
I shook his hand, his skin unnaturally soft. This man hasn't worked a day of manual labour in his life. He didn't let go, just placed his other hand on top of those fingers already intertwined and locked me in. How does it feel being Jack's mystery woman? I felt my arsehole clench, my stomach flip and my cheeks flare up. Jasmine laughed, pulling both mine and Mr. Elliot's attention.
Don't they come up with rubbish? Anything to sell a story, but at least they mention the film quite a lot.
Mr. Elliot nodded, his hands still gripping mine.
You know what they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
I forced a very strained, very uncomfortable laugh. Funny, that's what my dad said. Mr. Elliot finally let go, his eyes narrowing. I felt like he was scanning me, looking past my freckle-infested forehead and into the very depths of my skull, sifting through my thoughts and rummaging around in my insecurities. I felt my face grow redder and redder. Sweat was starting to run down the back of my dress. Charles! A familiar voice called. Jack swooped in, cutting between Mr. Elliot and myself like a blunt pair of scissors.
I didn't know you were coming in. Good to see you. Jack's gone posh. This is hilarious.
Mr. Elliot seemed to be lapping it up. Dear God, it was a match made in heaven.
Surprise visit to catch a glimpse of the Rushes, Jack. Andrew says you and Jasmine are exceeding expectations.
Both Jasmine and Jack smiled. Am I the only one picking up on that backhanded compliment? Jasmine's outshining us all. Jack beamed, taking Jasmine under his arm, practically forcing me out of the conversation altogether. The three proceeded to talk frivolously, continuously batting the compliment ball between each other.
You're amazing. No, you're amazing. We wouldn't be able to be so amazing if you hadn't been so awesomely amazing enough to allow us to be part of the project. Ugh.
No offence to any of them, but I'd rather lick my own arsehole than somebody else's.
You okay, Mel?
I suddenly realised Jack had hold of my arm. Jasmine and Mr. Elliot were nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, fine.
I pulled my arm out from Jack's grasp. Why?
Just, Charles is a bit of a...
Jasmine returned, bursting into the green room as though she had a mouse in the back of her dress. She wriggled and cringed, her fingers flexing.
Oh God, he gives me the creeps.
Jack took three swift steps away from me.
He asked me to have drinks with him before he flies back, Jasmine continued. Not go out for drinks, oh no. Have drinks with him in his hotel room, saying something about more unnecessary publicity for the film as an excuse. Oh, and Jack, he also recommended we don't go for dinner again, by the way. What a joke.
I felt Jack's eyes flicker my way. Crap. Had he seen the article too?
Oh God,
what if he thought I was a leak? What if he thought I was so madly in love with him, I'd fabricated an entire relationship in my head and leaked it to the press? No, he probably doesn't think that. I hope. It's a shame Mr. Elliot barely spoke to me, I mused, trying to break some of the tension.
Shame? Be grateful, Mel, Jasmine shuddered. Very grateful.
Hard to be when we're encouraged by our agents to schmooze with the likes of an executive producer. Networking, I think it's called. Jack frowned, his eyebrows drawing together.
Networking is a load of bullshit.
Made up by people like Charles to get naive actors like you to wander blindly into their hotel rooms.
I'm not naive,
I stammered. Jack rolled his eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
I felt my cheeks grow hot, but then spotted Jasmine nodding in agreement out of the corner of my eye.
We all learn the hard way, Mel. Find ourselves back at a director's house, thinking, if I drink this drink, laugh at his jokes, snort this key, let him kiss my neck or whatever, then he'll cast me in the next lead for his next massive project.
She laughed heartily, not processing how serious and unfunny everything she was saying was.
But it's always the same. They're too drunk, too coked up or horny to even remember their own name, let alone mine when it comes to casting. Jack laughed along with her, and I almost felt like they were having me on. Was this just common knowledge? Was this the standard practice? Or just all some sick joke?
I've even had it, Jack added. Execs, producers, directors, whoever, trying to make a pass at me. Usually some part tangled in front of me like a carrot on a piece of string. You learn to navigate around it. Stopped auditioning for this one theatre, where the artistic director uses the top floor for his shenanigans.
I know the one you mean, Jasmine added cheerily.
Jack, that's not normal. I trailed off. See? Naive.
Jack chuckled, pointing at my slightly agape mouth.
Unfortunately, Mel, it is the norm.
And that makes it okay, does it?
Jasmine flicked through her script aimlessly. It's not like we can do anything to change it. Not if we want to keep working.
I put my head in my hands before scrubbing my face, frustrated. I'm sorry, I thought the industry had improved. I thought we'd moved on from casting couch scenarios and sleazy men smoking cigars who buy young actors' bodies with false promises of Hollywood.
Jasmine tuttered. You're taking this too seriously, Mel. I don't think you're taking this seriously enough, I thought, my heart rate quickening. It's improved, sure, she continued. Especially on the scale you're talking about. It's more subtle now. You've got to keep your wits about you and not put yourself in any situation that could be misinterpreted. You have to keep yourself safe. No one else will.
I couldn't believe it. A woman who claims to be a feminist shouts to the high heavens about equal pay and is the face of the true feminine rage frontier talking like this.
Not put yourself in any situation that could be misinterpreted. You have to keep yourself safe.
That almost sounds like victim blaming. Hell, it is victim blaming. Jasmine then changed the subject. She completely shrugged off the gravitas of what she'd just said and started chatting about something else. Suddenly, we were hearing about a new bath bomb she'd just tried. A sour taste filled my mouth. If this is what it means to be a successful actor in the industry, then I don't want to be one.
Chapter 13, 18th of January. Told Mum once I was thinking of getting a dove tattoo on the side of my right boob. Her response? Give it 20 years and that dove is going to be a fat pigeon. I took note. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm ready for Symbol of Freedom to be over. Not only has another article with my actual name on it been printed, but more photos of Jack and I together. I don't know how, but some photographer has managed to capture photos of Jack and I, leaving our separate trailers, and merge them together. I looked horrendous beside him, to a point where it made me feel sick just looking at it. The article purposely made the image of us together look farcical. The finger pointed at me, encouraging the reader, as if saying to them, "Go on, look at her. Doesn't she look stupid? Doesn't she look ridiculous? Isn't the idea of her dating Jack the most hilarious, stupid, depressing thing you've ever heard?" The addition of my name has meant a tsunami of random people have flooded my socials. Comments from strangers at the bottom of old photographs have made me incredibly aware of my own body, in a way I didn't even think possible. They all discuss, in length, the copious amounts of freckles I have, my not-so-subtle double chin and my poor posture. Jesus, one bloke even decided to comment how he thought my boobs looked like crushed cloves of garlic under that top. I've concluded this man has never seen a pair of tits in real life, and he's just pissing his opinion into the wind. I thought I'd be stronger than to let any of this get to me, but now I find myself staring at my photographs, listing all of my external and internal faults. It's becoming a bloody long list. There was a heavy knock on my trailer door. "Come in." Toby poked his head in.
sorry to bother you, Mel.
As he spoke, his eyes swiftly scanned the room.
I don't suppose you've seen Jack anywhere, have you?
Other than the million times I've looked over his face when triple-checking these articles, I thought. No, I haven't. Why? Toby looked sheepish.
Well, he may have gone walkabout again.
I jumped up onto my feet and threw my phone into my bag. You've got to be joking. Where was he seen last?
Heading to set about an hour ago, but he still hasn't shown up. We've managed to swap scenes to keep Jasmine occupied, but if we don't get him on set in the next hour, it's not going to be pretty.
Toby let me past and I scanned the base car park. Lines of trailers scattered about like a white, rusty metal maze. Where do you even start? It's like trying to find a twat in a haystack. Right. I took off in a random direction.
Where are you going?
Toby called after me.
I can't lose you too.
I'll be right back, I encouraged with a throwaway thumbs up. If Jack wants to play hide and seek, Tobes, game on. If it weren't for the smell of smoke, I never would have found him. Jack was sitting round the back of some prop lorry with his feet dangling over the edge of the opened up trailer. I approached with caution, hearing him speak quietly on the phone.
I told you, I can't come see you at the moment, but in a couple of weeks, I'm all yours.
Another woman? That would make four of us.
Do you think you'll be able to hold on for a few weeks?
Jack went quiet, and all of a sudden his feet went very still.
Can I call you back? Yeah, you too.
A sickly feeling began to bubble in my stomach and the hairs on the back of my neck began to stand up on end. I knew instantly I shouldn't have been there. I took a few steps back, all the while thinking, well, I've found him. I've done my bit. Production can take it from here.
I know you're there.
I froze. Jack sat up and looked me up and down.
You know, it's rude to listen on people's private conversations.
I couldn't help but pull a face. He may have had a point, but it's also rude to not show up to set when there's an entire cast and crew waiting for you, mate. Jack's left eyebrow raised. He almost looked shocked I'd spoken to him with a little bit of venom in my tone.
I was just...
He bit the inside of his cheek.
That was a serious phone call I needed to take. Not that it's any of your business.
It is my business when it stops me from doing my job. I hit back. I'm just trying to prevent a repeat of the other day.
The other day? You talk awfully confident for someone who has no idea what they're on about, Mel.
Jack jumped out of the back of the trailer. Infuriatingly, I found myself almost gawking. I was unprepared to see him in full fighter pilot get up, and my God, the uniform was doing him a few favours.
I had to leave the other day for an emergency. A private emergency.
Jack brushed himself off before glaring at me expectantly.
Well?
Well, what? I blinked.
Well, let's get a move on since you're so bloody desperate to get me on set.
My jaw clenched. It's not about you, Jack. I couldn't give a crap about you. It's about all the other people here who have a job to do, myself included, who don't fancy spending another day twiddling their thumbs waiting for you to finish umming and ahhing about whether or not you're gonna show up for work. You may have an emergency going on, but communication is key if you don't want to piss off a whole production team. Jack took a moment. It looked like he was contemplating shouting at me, but then he looked down at his phone mournfully instead. He scrubbed his brow with the back of his hand.
I'm being a knobhead, aren't I?
I snorted. Just a tad.
God, what a nightmare.
He groaned. There was something about the tone of his voice that made all the anger in my body evaporate. It struck a chord in a part of me that I tried to avoid. That sad, sorry, grieving part of me that still thinks about my mum. Want to talk about it? I asked without really registering what I was saying. Of course Jack wouldn't want to talk about his problems, especially with me. He probably has a £6,000-an-hour therapist to talk to about it. God, why did I ask?
It's my granddad.
Jack trailed off.
He's...
How long has he been given? Jack went rigid. His broad shoulders tense, his eyes staring directly at me, baffled.
How'd you...
I shrugged. Call it a hunch. Jack let out a half-exhausted laugh.
Good hunch. I'm impressed.
Don't be. I'm speaking from experience. Before Jack could ask, I raised my hand. A universal sign for don't even get me started. Now was not the time or place to go into the whole dead mum backstory.
They say he's got a couple of months. Could be a year if he's lucky.
Jack shoved his phone into his pocket and ran his fingers through his hair.
I'm not dealing with it all that well, if you hadn't noticed.
I'd say, considering the situation, you're doing a hell of a lot better than most people would. Jack half smiled, exhausted.
Thanks.
We stood in silence for a good minute before I could no longer help myself. Not to sound too insensitive, but I think we better head back now. Jack nodded, all the fight I'd seen moments ago drained out of him. He matched his stride with mine as we headed back towards base.
Sorry about the other day.
Did he just say sorry? Jack mumbled, no doubt apologising didn't come naturally to him.
It was the day my granddad got his terminal prognosis. Production was supposed to be shut down, but there was a miscommunication somewhere. I don't really know what happened, but apparently no one got told to go home. Must have been awful.
Yeah, I agreed. I even contemplated giving that violins a watch, I was so bored. Jack faked a laugh.
Did you?
Oh God, no, I teased. I said I was bored, not desperate. I couldn't tell if he was faking a laugh again or genuinely finding me funny. Most probably the former. I was insulting the shining star of his life's work, after all. Tried to do some writing instead, but wasn't very successful, so I just scrolled on my phone. I trailed off. Having mentioned my phone, my mind had decided to throw up a million of the hateful comments I'd read. I crossed my arms over my stomach, wondering if Jack was aware of the new articles. Had he seen the comments beneath them? And thought the same things his fans thought about me?
What are you writing?
Jack asked, pulling me back into the present. I'm not really writing. I began to feel myself panic. Why did I say I tried to do some writing? I literally opened up my laptop, stared at a half-assed play that I've had writer's block with for God knows how long, and then gave up. It's just this silly little script. It's nothing, really.
That's cool.
He feigned interest.
What's it about?
A woman who is at a crossroads? She spends most of the play contemplating what to do next. Hearing myself say it out loud made me realise how silly and little my play actually was.
Sounds interesting. I'd love to give it a read sometime, when it's finished.
Yeah, right, I joked inside my head. Never gonna happen. Chapter 14, 19th of January. Apparently, I'm supposed to ignore the police tape outside of reception. It's proving difficult. What to do? What do I do? Production have only gone and shoved the scene I have with Jack on the end of today's schedule. If it wasn't already chock-a-block enough. So not what I need right now. This morning has been filled with Jack being annoyingly charming. Like, he's been warm and attentive, and I have no idea why. I told Amara on the phone this morning that I don't trust it. It's like Jack has a nice switch that he's just miraculously decided to turn on, I ranted. I feel like maybe he knew he was on the road to losing his job or something, so now he's overcompensating. I mean, like, get this, yesterday he went on set and apologised to everyone for his lateness. The whole crew, even Jasmine, who didn't even know he was missing. He said, as a way of apologising, he'd get pizza. And I kid you not, 50 pizza boxes showed up. It didn't even faze him.
The guy must have cash to burn, Amara grunted. Have you been back on your socials since that second article about the two of you came out?
Oh God, my socials. I'd taken the easy way out and just turned them all to private. I was slowly but surely working my way through the hate. Deleting every nasty comment, blocking every troll account, and completely ghosting Ian until I got home. It sounds silly, but actually taking control of what I can, in a situation that I very much can't, has helped. Sort of. There was a knock on my trailer door just after breakfast, and my heart sank a little. I was preemptively thinking it would be Toby again, Jack having done a proper runner this time. Not because his grandfather was dying, just that he had finally come to his senses and didn't want to act opposite me. It wasn't Toby. It was the man himself. Jack. Nervous and clumsy? Almost falling into the trailer, having misjudged the step coming up.
"Sorry to bother you," he stuttered. "Just wondered if you would be free for a line run. Jasmine said you're quite good at them."
"Jasmine and Jack talk about me," I thought, a touch panic-stricken. "Yeah, sure." I put down my diary. Jack's eyes followed the goofy, sticker-infested notepad.
"Sorry, were you writing? Have I interrupted? I can just wait till we're on set."
"Give over," I laughed nervously, clearing some space on the small sofa. "Do you want to sit, or..."
"No, I'll stand."
Jack shuffled from one foot to the other.
"I wasn't really expecting this scene to come up today. I thought they'd bang it on the end of the shoot or something, but apparently that would mean bringing you back in May, and they'd rather just get it done while you're over here. When do you go back?"
"They've got me on a 6 a.m. flight, day after tomorrow."
"Oh, so you're pretty much done then?"
"Pretty much." I nodded, feeling an odd tension fill the tiny trailer. Or maybe I was just imagining it. I lifted my sides after an awkward moment of silence. "Shall we?"
"Are you looking forward to going back?"
Funny how that always seems to be the follow-up question. "I don't know," I shrugged. "I've loved being here, but it's had its ups and downs. Hotel life can only go on so long without driving you crazy. I'd appreciate doing a load of washing and being in my own bed, to be honest. But I'm going to miss working." Jack's eyebrows pulled together.
"I thought you said you had a couple of opportunities lined up. Have they all fallen through?"
I bit my tongue. "That's the thing about casual lying. You have to have a good memory in order to be any bloody good at it." "Afraid so," I replied, thinking it would be better to just drop the act than try and fool this guy into thinking I had anything more than a waitressing opportunity waiting at home for me.
"I'm sorry to hear that."
"Is he?" I wondered. "Or is he just saying that because it's the decent thing to say? Anyway, you came here to run lines, not talk about my career." I looked down at the script and cleared my throat. "So, do you want to run the whole thing or just your lines?"
"The whole thing, preferably."
Jack wiped his hands on the back of his jeans.
"Thank you for this, by the way. Really appreciate it. And thank you, as well, for yesterday."
I looked up at him and something in me did a little somersault. He sounded quite sweet. Even genuine. It was almost touching. "You're welcome, Jack."
"But I do have a favour to ask."
"Including the one I'm already doing?" I joked. Jack didn't laugh.
"Would you mind not telling anyone about yesterday?"
The somersaulting stopped immediately, and my heart rate began to quicken.
"I don't know if you've seen, but there's been a couple of things written about us over the past few days. Some really repulsive stuff has come up because of it."
"Repulsive?" Jack thinks the idea of him and I dating is repulsive?
"Now, I know you know they're just making stuff up, but just be careful, because if there is a leak or a source, whatever you want to call it, I just want to make it clear that I don't want anyone knowing about my granddad's condition."
My blood began to boil as I realised one of my biggest anxieties was actually true. Jack really did think I was the insider source. He believed I was telling the press about us. Making things up, fabricating an entire relationship, madly in love with him and trying to convince the world he was in love with me when really he thought the idea of dating me repulsive. Jack, I would never...
"I'm not saying you would."
"I think that's exactly what you're saying," I snapped. Jack's lips went thin and his cheeks became flushed.
"Mel, I'm just telling you to keep what I told you yesterday to yourself."
I shook my head, trying to calm myself down before I kicked him out. I had to remain professional, despite internally raging. I really thought, really believed this prick could be nice, but I couldn't have been more wrong. because here he was accusing me of being a fantasizing lunatic of a snitch who he would never date because he finds the idea of dating me, and therefore me as a person, repulsive. On set, Andrew, surprisingly, noticed something was off with me. It took him about an hour, but I'll give him credit. He was actually looking at me today. He crept out from behind his monitor and approached me. Jack was pacing in front of me, mumbling his lines under his breath.
"Would you mind trying a take that's a little softer?"
Andrew asked me.
"Try not to glare at Jack so much, it's coming across very intense."
Jack's ears pricked up at the mere mention of his name.
"Anything I can do, Andrew?" "Kiss ass," I thought, rubbing my temples.
"I think maybe a little more attention to her. Really focus all your lines this way rather than throwing them out to the room. Think tunnel vision.
Some directors aren't half full of shit." We went for another take, and try as I might to soften my face, I was still called out for glaring at Jack. Couldn't help it. The word repulsive was playing on repeat in my head. Jack leaned into me while Andrew discussed some lighting issue with the gaffer.
"Are we okay?"
Jack asked dumbly.
"You've been acting weird since this morning."
"I'm fine," I lied. "Just want to get this scene done. It's going on forever." Jack pulled a face.
"Okay."
There was an uncomfortable pause. Crew scuttling around us, a light being changed, a lens being flipped.
"Do you want to go for some dinner after we wrap tonight?"
Jack suddenly asked. It completely threw me off guard. I blinked at him dumbly. "What?"
"Just as it's your last day tomorrow. We don't have to."
He laughed nervously.
"Just an idea."
I was so tempted to ask. "Are you sure? Aren't we not supposed to? Don't you have any worries that we might be pictured together, or that I might leak our conversations to some journalist? Won't it be too repulsive for you?" But I didn't. We still had 3 more setups to do, and a last day of filming with Jasmine tomorrow. So, unfortunately, I had to stay as professional as possible, which, unusually for me, was proving quite difficult. "Sure," I stupidly accepted. "Why not?" 11:56 PM. I don't know why I'm writing the time. I feel it's because I need to. I need to write the time and the fact I've got 3 double rum and cokes swimming around my system, because that will provide the perfect context as to why I've just kissed Jack.